Looks like they brought the ban hammer down on that China app. And I think I agree. The Griff Report starts right now.
2-1, boom. Hotep Jesus.
Of all the Jesuses I know, he's the Hotepiest. Social scientist and YouTube host, Hotep Jesus.
How the fuck do you get a name like Hotep Jesus?
The one and only Hotep Jesus.
Ryan Sharp, better known to the world as Hotep Jesus.
Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Somebody said, what do you think you are, some kind of Hotep Jesus?
Ooh, and that's
I was
good.
Just like, ooh, that's sexy. Yes, I do think I'm Hotep Jesus.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, depending on where you are in the world. Welcome to the Griff Report, live Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, at Griff God.
Hotep Jesus? Hotep Jesus? Hotep Jesus.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Oh, this is a real Hotep, brother.
Hotep to the chat. Hotep to the Hotep is Stannies.
Hotep.
What's happening, y'all? What's happening? Justine Ellison in the house. Lauren, what up? Adrian, what up? Lindsay H., creator of the term Red Wokes, in the house. Don Day, Hotep Federales, Hotep CPA, Haram Life, Lauren in the house, DJ Protocol in the house, the official DJ of the Grifties, and probably many, many more events. Shout out to DJ Protocol. Excellent job on the Grifties, by the way. Welcome, 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 family. Strong Dad in the house.
Oh, this is a real Hotep, brother.
What's happening, y'all? Hopefully everyone is doing well. Got a lot to cover today. Got a lot of interesting things as always. You know, we're going to get big brain. We're going to get small brain. At the end of the day, everybody's going to get some brain today. Pause. No diddy. Do not forget. Do remember. Go follow Super Dap. Follow Super Dap for all announcements. All announcements coming soon. Super Dap AI. That's two P's. AI. Super Dap. Dap stands for decentralized application. Guys that aren't familiar with these crypto terms, I'm going to try and drop a couple of them on you every once in a while. Dap is decentralized application. And Super Dap is in the world of SocialFi, social finance, where you get to put your money where your chat is and then watch your wallet grow as your group grows, as your investment grows. So look out for that. Announcements coming soon. If you want to get bumped up the line, hit the Telegram link in the description box below to join our investor group where we talk all things investing. Okay, don't come in there talking gibberish and nonsense and bladderdash about politics or whatever. It better be related to investing. Otherwise, I'm handing down the Stalin hammer on your account. Put your ass in timeout. Okay. Okay. That being said, shout out to Haram Life in the chat. Heather in the chat. What up, y'all? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Just got a Cash App. Just got a Cash App. Thank you for the donation. Make sure you listen to the Haram Life podcast. The Haram Life podcast must listen for all of our viewers and listeners. Now, we've got a lot to cover today. It's 2:04 p.m. We got all of the business handled. And, you know, we're going to get into today's program. Going to start off with a bit of a musical medley, a bit of a musical inspiration. We have new music on the MAGA front. New MAGA music has just hit the streets. We're going to take a listen and give our thoughts and our reactions to this production. This production today comes out of the political group, political action group, Blacks for Trump. Let's take a listen.
Black MAGA. Black MAGA. Black MAGA.
Black MAGA. Black MAGA. That's interesting.
Black MAGA. Black MAGA. Donald Trump. Yeah, that's my president. Donald Trump, the first black president.
Now, I'm just a little upset that as soon as Shorty right here was about to get it in, she's about to hit us with the mean twerk. I mean, just look at how thick this woman is. We were about to get some prime entertainment, and they cut it off right as soon as she was about to throw that thing. Come on, man. Why y'all playing with the content, man? Why y'all playing with the content? At least let us get it the full experience, the full hip hop twerking experience. Strong Dad said, "This is why white people hate us."
Oh, this a real hotep, brother.
You don't like this record, Strong Dad? Yeah, they cut her off, Lindsay. This is terrible. Ranger 2008 said, "This kind of shit will never not be corny to me." What's wrong? All right. Class participation with the show of, let's do thumbs. 5 thumbs, you think this is a hit record. 1 or thumbs down if you believe the other way. You know, 5 thumbs down is just completely horrible. 1 thumbs down is just, it's just a bad song. Where are we at on this chat? Where are the thumbs? Thumbs up, thumbs down, 5 thumbs up, 5 thumbs down. You know, well, y'all don't like the MAGA rap? Y'all don't like Black MAGA? Yeah, I know whose fault this is. These is Bryson kids. These is Bryson's kids. Or maybe I should, at this point, this is probably his grandchildren. He said, drop the video, not this BTS, this video. Feels like the clap. Oh man, damn. Just as bad as RFK Boosie. Protocol gave it 3 thumbs up. Middleman Reek, 1 thumbs up. Essence of Anarchy, thumbs down. We got a damn Lindsay H, 3 thumbs down. Kate McCoy, 3 thumbs down. Spotless seems to be a bit confused. The Dizza, thumbs down. Tim Taylor asked, did he say Donald Trump was the first black president? That's what he said. That's what it said. It's even written in English right on the video. First black president. So there's a bit of, you know, some troll tactics happening with this piece of media, this production that came out of Blacks for Trump. And this MAGA music wave created by Bryson is the gift that keeps on giving. I don't understand why you guys don't like this. This is great, man. This is some of the best that hip hop has to offer. How could you not appreciate this? Protocol said we're gonna play this Saturday in Atlanta. This gotta be in your set, Protocol. It's gotta be in your set. So, you know, I guess obviously they're trolling, but also, you know, playing off of the fact that blacks don't have to be beholden to the Democratic Party. I think the messaging is there. I don't think I see anything wrong with the messaging other than some of the trolling about first black president. Now, you know, I just wish the production value could increase a little bit. This is a little ghetto, you know, this is a bit low budget. And if you're going to do something like this, you got to do it in the projects, you know, the parking lot situation, you know, Trump should have threw him a budget for this video, you know, somebody, a pack or something, nonprofit, somebody should have threw him a budget, because this parking lot situation is not it. We want to see some different scenes and backgrounds and green screens and studio. Just want to see the budget get increased on this music video. That's my only gripe when it comes to this thing. Wait a second. I'm a bit lost because it says we're at $19.99 on the goal. But I don't see any super chats. I'll take it as a win, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. Back to the grift bag. We got a lot to cover today. And so little time to do it in. Okay, let's close that window. What else we got in here and we need to talk about? Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, actually, we'll play that later. Let's talk about the protests. We've covered the protests. In case you guys missed it, I'll play you a clip from yesterday's. We had boots on the ground near NYU at Washington Park. Is Washington Park near? Is Washington Square near NYU? I can't remember. I've been to NYU before. I cannot remember. You know where this lands.
Yo, Taylor.
But yesterday we had Spotless Mind. He was able to get boots on the ground and get his coverage of the protests, and we got this wonderful clip. So let's go ahead and play this clip from yesterday for the people who missed it. Shout out to Taylor for piecing this together. I think he did a phenomenal job. Absolutely hilarious. And let's fix this on the screen so you can see it a bit better. Let's play.
Yo, Taylor, I need you to just edit this part, yo. Can you edit just this part?
Avengers! Assemble.
Can we ask about the significance of the mask?
What is the significance of the mask?
The mask is mostly to protect others from COVID. We're still living in a pandemic, even though many people have moved on. It's always good to practice safe social distancing and safe procedures, especially when you're in a crowd of people. You don't know who's immunocompromised. You don't know what history people have with their health. It's also just good protest practice to have a face covering.
And with the people of Palestine, we got 300 viewers live on YouTube.
Red, I make my own bread and I bring it to protest.
You just handing it out with your hands like that?
The mask is mostly to protect others from COVID. We're still living in a pandemic. Bread, I make my own bread and I bring it to protest. Mostly to protect others from COVID. We're still living in a pandemic.
First of all, why are you not? If you got bread, shouldn't you like have plastic gloves on if you're going to hand it out? You know, grab it with a napkin. Let me grab my own piece of bread. I don't know. Like she said, and this is what's crazy, right? This is what's crazy to me because allegedly she's afraid of the COVID-19. I'm afraid of whatever she been touching with them pink hands. She could have had them fingers in her butt. I don't know where them fingers been, but why are you touching my bread like this? So shout out to Taylor for that edit in case you missed it. Absolutely bizarre. I was just wondering why these people were wearing masks at these things. I thought that was thought it was a bit bizarre. Hold on a second. This is just going to bother me. My OCD is just going to bother me. So I have to fix this now. Hold on a second. My OCD is just going to, it's going to just bug me. So I might as well just, because I'm not going to be able to concentrate unless this thing is right on the screen. That's just how I operate. All right, there we go. All right, I just had to reset that really fast. Yeah, I just thought it was odd that, you know, what is she doing? You complain about COVID, but you touching the stuff with your hands. You ain't got the bread wrapped up in saran wrap, tinfoil, or nothing like that. Anyway, on that same front, I'd like to show you something I ran across. Shout out to our producers, Jabari and Jason and Jason and Chad, that contribute to some of the stuff that enters the program. Joe Cody says, I'm guessing this is why. And this is in response to our video. And he says, why are they wearing a mask? And it says, Mossad commentary. Mossad commentary says, facial recognition can determine whether you participate in the pro-Hamas protests at the universities. Your jobs and your degrees will be worthless. Your hiring opportunities will be limited. And this guy, Avner Mandelman, says something in Hebrew. It looks like it was translated here by Google. Says the list of participants in the riots at Columbia University should be given the Mossad agent known as Golem. a skilled SAP expert in removing anti-Semitic contamination in a simple procedure without anesthesia with a very low rate of repeat offenders. Now, I never even heard of this Mossad Golem thing, so let's go ahead and pull him up. So, Google is saying, according to modern Jewish history, in Hebrew, Golem stands for a shapeless mass. The Talmud uses the word as unformed or imperfect. So maybe this is something we're not even supposed to know about if Google hasn't covered it. And then we'll check. Let's go ahead and check Putin. Let's ask Putin. Let's see what Putin says about this. You gotta go over to the Yeah, I don't see anything. It's all missing Golem. What is this? Chat, y'all ever heard of this? Y'all ever listened to this before? This concept of the Golem and a Mossad agent? This is all new to me. This is all new to me. Where's Jabari? I think there was that. He just retracted his comment. I was about to read. He just retracted his comment. Must have been too spicy. Now, let's put this back on the screen really fast as I try and work my mind through this. On the facial recognition front. According to my most recent studies, the mask is not going to help you. The facial recognition is going to be able to detect you based upon how far apart your eyes are. They even have something called gait recognition, which is how you walk. So Mossad, if they are doing any surveillance, knows who you are. And those masks, although I can say the mask probably makes their job a little bit harder, but they know who you are at the end of the day. They have advanced technology. NYPD probably doesn't have that technology. And so, you are, practicing some sort of self-defense mechanism against the surveillance state, at least to some extent. Something I do agree with. I think the masks have more to do with concealing identities than they do, COVID. And I think they're using COVID as an excuse to wear these masks. All right, let's move on. We haven't found anything about these masks. So let's go to the next story here. Let's pull this up on your screen. Passenger confronts NYC Mayor Eric Adams on a Miami flight. Let's see what happens here.
Adams? Yeah, fuck you! You support the guys from Palestine. There are homeless people all over New York. That girl was partying. You don't actually care about the citizens of New York. Why are you even in Miami? You know there are people being arrested there. People are homeless in New York. People cannot afford food. You keep cutting the education budget so that you can fund the police. That's all you care about, funding the police. Everything is underfunded because of you.
Holding the line. All right, couple of things here on this video. First of all, as she walks up, she says, "Is this Mayor Eric Adams?" All right. His first expression is he's pleased. He's like, "Oh shit, I'm famous. I got a fan." Right, and it's a woman. So he's like, "Oh shit, here we go." He thinks this is good news, and then he quickly finds out. This is not good news. Now here he is confused, like, oh shit, what the hell did I get myself into? I think the entire clip is absolutely hilarious. But what's more hilarious to me is the fact that people was like, man, get your ass in the back of the plane, you holding up the line. I gotta tell you something, man. The last place you want to practice social justice is on an airplane. When people are trying to get to their destination, you know, we got some people got flights to catch because, you know, you might have a connecting flight. And if there are delays, you miss that flight. And if your luggage is on this flight and that flight, luggage missing, all types of things can go wrong on your journey. Or maybe you just need to land on time because you have a meeting or something. Right. But it's just weird that people, you know, choose to do this. I, you know, personally, I would have waited to confront him after we got off of the plane. Mostly because, you know, she could have been charged with a federal crime, I think. You know, I think she was pretty close to getting booted off this airline. If she would have got the wrong flight attendant, it could have been a wrap for her journey. You know, could have been an absolute wrap. Zantoman said, this is lame. We're the big brain shit. Yeah, I'm sorry, bro. Give me a second. Let me a second to get there. Hold on. Can we work up too? We still got people coming in the chat. We got 194 just entered the room. We only got 34 likes. We got no donations, Zantoven. Where your donations at? Before you start bossing me around, can I get a donation, Zantoven? Damn. I mean, I know I work for you guys, but technically I only work for the people that, you know, cut the donations. You know, if I ain't never seen you at an event or you ain't cut no donations, I don't work for you. You know, where's the check? Cut the check, Zantoven.
Oh, this is a real hotel, brother.
Damn. Can I ease into the story? Lawrence said, we just got here. Damn. Word, the show just started. Oh, man. What's going on? Mike ain't even warm yet. Tell him, Lauren. Sheesh. I know I got some more small brain shit in here before we get into the real shit. Let me find something small brain just to piss him off. Mel said, just got my Apex yesterday, and my goodness, tell us about it, man.
Oh, this is a real hotel, brother.
That Apex is hitting. It's the best thing on the market right now. It's the best thing on the market right now. Go get you some. Go get you some. Fellas, hormone balancing. Get the testosterone right. Hotep CPA, $13.99 on the Super Salute HJ. Thank you, sir.
Oh, this is a real Hotep, brother.
You know? He said he wants that post-workout protein shake before he starts. Yeah. Yeah. Justine said, not a whole show about to be small brain. Facts. Zantoven, why you atting me? Don't at me until you hit the super chat button. Cut the check. All right, let's take a look at this. Let's talk about this. This may make Zantoven happy. I don't know if this is small brain content, big brain content. But let's take a look at this next video. Hopefully this makes Zantoven happy. I should hold the show ransom until Zantoven cuts the check. But I'm not that type of guy. Let's take a look.
Welcome to Wendy's. What would you like?
Can I have a chocolate frosty?
Which size for the chocolate frosty?
Medium.
Can I get you anything else today?
No, thank you.
Great. Please pull up to the next window.
All right, where we at on this chip, on this clip chat? Where we at on this clip chat? Thumbs up if you with the AI in the drive-thru. Thumbs down if you not with the AI. Let me know before I give my commentary. Hotep Federales with the $5 super.
Oh, this is a real Hotep, brother.
There goes Zantoven. He said it's all love, HJ. $20 super.
Oh, this a real ho. This a real ho. This a real Hotep, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Zantoven. We're gonna take care of Zantoven. We got a lot of. You're gonna be happy today, Zantoven. I think you will. You know, I cannot make any guarantees about your happiness and meeting your expectations, but I think we're gonna do well today to meet your big brain standards. You know, we got to feed the mind on this show. Make sure you take your flow before the show. Oh, that rhyme. Take your flow before the show. Get your brain working. Lindsay H says, thumbs down. Heather Harnett says, if you don't like it, just yell human. That's a good point. Human. Give me a human. If AI actually took all of our jobs, we wouldn't be good labor slaves now, would we? Ken and Hotep said they asked for the $15. Joe Music, thumbs up. Matthew Aaron says, probably shouldn't be eating food you get through a drive-thru. That's a good point. That's a good point. You know, you get what you pay for. This one's tough for me because... All right, let's go through both sides and then see if I can draw a conclusion. On one side, it's, you know, the socialists asked for this. You raise the minimum wage to $15 and corporations are like, we ain't got the money for that. Plus insurance benefits, medical benefits, right? Dental, right? We don't have money for all of this. We got vacations to book and yachts to buy. You're cutting into my bonus. So they're going to implement the AI. Now I kind of like the AI. I think the big problem with this AI in this instance is, it's not fast enough, just not fast enough. And it removes very much a human element. I kind of like the human element, you know, us, you know, using machines as intermediaries is a bit scary. To me, I have some technology nightmares from stuff like this. So, you know, as much as I'm scared, I kind of like it. But I'm going to go ahead and say this is a net negative for humanity. But for customers and the business, this is probably a net positive. For customers, I think the AI can do better than a human. I think. Depends on how it's going to handle accents, but we don't have accents. But being able to see on that screen what's happening is probably good for the customer experience. You can say, no, take this off, da da da, and the AI. I think the AI is going to make less mistakes than humans. Unfortunately, the inside of this thing is going to be humans as well, and usually that's what happens when you get your food and you drive away and you're like, wait, they forgot my small fry. You know, the AI is not going to remind them to remember your small fry. So it's going to be only a matter of time before the entire restaurant of these fast food industries is automated top to front. You're going to have somebody, you know, what could happen is, you know, we think about distribution networks. We're going to talk about distribution networks in a minute here. So usually what happens is you're going to have a driver drop off the resources to a location, right? So your frozen burgers, your frozen fries, et cetera, and then, you know, there's going to be somebody handling receiving, and that person is going to take those and get them to a loader, right? And this loader is going to load the machines. So he's going to load the fries for the day. He's going to load the burgers for the day. He's just going to load the machines until even the loader is a machine. So you might get a situation where, the receiver is working with a machine, right? But then again, you know, this is slow progression because at some point, how did you handle POS? And machines came in and handled much of the POS. But even, you know, I had somebody reach out to me yesterday, I'm moving into two professions. Both of them require a license. One of them is to become a truck driver and the other one was an electrician. And he asked me which one. And he said, in the short term, the driver job is going to get me paid, but the electrician is going to be long term. And he says he only has time to study for one test. And I told him, you better do the electrician job. I think the electrician job is going to have more legs and longevity for his for his career. Yeah, so I told him, you know, do the electrician thing because the drivers are not going to be drivers anymore. They're going to be passengers to the AI, to the automated vehicles. And again, they're just going to be receivers and loaders, and the machine's going to do the driving. And you're just going to be sitting there sort of babysitting the machine, making sure nothing goes wrong, and programming the machine with the destination, et cetera, et cetera. And then, guiding the machine during parking and loading, et cetera, et cetera. So it's pretty, you're just going to be a loader or a receiver. And it's until those positions are taken over by machines as well. And at that point, I think what will happen is everybody will be inside of autonomous cars that will be driverless and will be operating on a grid. And then we'll see an elimination of traffic because everyone will be tied to the same program. So the machine will know exactly what speeds for vehicles to move, what routes to take to create the fastest possible travel for the passenger. So I think that's where we're going with all of this. So, yeah, I suggested electrician for him. Shout out to all the people helping us reach our goal today. You are appreciated. All right. Speaking of distribution, this has been a point of contention for a really long time. We've dealt with something called Asian hate, where they basically said that, you know, black people were attacking Asians. And I think there is a long history between blacks and Asians that is unspoken of. And some of that animus, I think, has weight. Let's take a look at it. And I've spoken about this in the past, but let's take a look.
Now, y'all know I'm a black woman that owns a beauty supply store, and this Eben tea has gotten too hot for me not to talk about it. Let's go. So I saw the young lady's video, and what she is going through is almost the exact same thing that black beauty supply owners go through. The difference is they were actually using her to sell their products, and for us, they don't care. They don't want our money. They just want to starve us out. So I talked about gatekeeping as well. I want to let you know, Eben was one of those companies that did not give me a direct sales account for my beauty supply store. Now, Eben and all of these other companies know that doing B2B with black business owners is very crucial for our sustainability. And the number one reason why black beauty supplies actually go under, close out, can't sustain, is because we have to buy our products at a higher rate and we have to sell them at a higher rate. Even the playing field, I am in search of black-owned beauty products to put on my shelves.
Okay, so before we dive into this, let's take a look at this company I'm talking about. Where is it? Eben? I think they said it's Eben. Let's see if we can find this company. Eben Hair and Beauty. Okay, here we go. We got Eben New York. Okay, they actually have a statement on the website. We are aware of videos posted on social media by a former employee and are conducting an internal review of the allegations she raises. Every day, Eben demonstrates its strong and unwavering commitment to the communities we serve by providing the highest quality product to celebrate the beauty of black women and women of color. We also take pride in our partnerships with community-based organizations, schools, and other philanthropic endeavors to support our communities. So here we have on the front, the forward-facing, you'll see black women. But what I'm assuming is that, I guess, on the back end, Eben New York is actually a Korean-run company. Let's see. They don't have... Okay, here we go. Korean hair brand. You must be logged in to do that. What the hell? All right, let me check Crunchbase, and maybe we can get some information from Crunchbase. Let's go to Crunchbase, and then let's type in... Wait, what are we doing? What is this? Eben. Let's see. Here we go. Provides beauty products, da-da-da-da. Headquartered in New York. Don't see any mention of Korea here, but that's neither here nor there. All right. I tried to do a little bit of research into the company and come to a wall. And I don't want to take too much time on this. So what we're dealing with here is something that has been expressed by black women, specifically black women in the hair care industry, black female business owners, where they're dealing with unfair distribution practices. So basically what happens is the Chinaman controls the hair industry, specifically the black hair industry. I don't know about the white hair care industry. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But they damn sure control the distribution networks and the manufacturing portions of this. And this is why I talk about, you know, we talk about building industry black business. There's a lot of focus on the end product, but not necessarily a lot of focus on the distribution networks. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, look at all the great brands we've got. And it's just like, yeah, but after you create that great brand, you have to move up the distribution network all the way to manufacturing and production. This is where the power is. The power is in manufacture, production, and then distribution. So the way the old folktale goes is the Chinese man says to the black man, you know, the difference between you and I is, so basically how the story goes, the black man comes to the Chinese man and he says, yo, I got this product and it's cheaper. You know, it's good. It's the same great product, but it's at a lower price. And the Chinese man basically says, see, the difference is, you know, you think I shop on price, but I shop on loyalty. So even though I will get the product at a higher price, I'll get it from my own people. And that's how we maintain powers, is a form of nepotism. And this is the pushback that a lot of people have against some minds in the black community, where we're so accepting of other cultures, but other cultures will block us out the first chance they get. And we had some black female business owners go out of business because, frankly, they won't sell to them the products. And if they do sell to them the products, they're going to sell to them at a higher rate, which means they have to pass that cost on over to the customers. So you have the Chinaman down the street. He's selling the product at a lower price and you're selling it at a higher price. And what it's going to come down to is a lot of awareness around these practices. But the consumer base has to make a decision. Black women have to make a decision. Who are you going to shop with? Are you going to continue to walk into these beauty supply stores owned by Asians and patronize them? Or are you going to, you know, give your business to Leticia? The problem is Leticia doesn't stay in business long enough to support her, you know, to in order for her to receive support, because the Chinese or, you know, the Asians or whoever these people are controlling the industry. So it's quite a conundrum. But the power lies in the hands of the customer, and that's black women. So black women are going to have to form some sort of agreement, alliance, allegiance, and divest from Chinese or, you know, Asian made products and start to manufacture and distribute their own goods. And this goes back to like Madam C.J. Walker and, you know, other hair moguls, where they handled their own manufacturing and distribution. But this also ties into the DEI conversation, because the DEI conversation is something that has crippled small business, whether you're white or black. So what happens is with the DEI situation, you know, white women and black women benefit the most from DEI, specifically white women. But what happens is the white women are no longer at home manufacturing and producing goods as they did in the 50s and the 40s and prior. And now, they feel accomplished when they go to the university, they get their degree, and then they start their career. So women have moved into facilitating just business for big business, right? And Black women have moved from independent thought to dependent thought. I need my degree. I got to get my career. Me. And this is what leads to the destruction of small business, leads to the destruction of the middle class, and just gives the gentry more power. And, for example, and I've used this example in the past, grandma used to make her children's clothes. It's true. She went down, picked out the fabric, brought it home, made your pants, made your shirt. There was no Macy's in the department store, et cetera, et cetera. And this is why I think it's so important for women to remember the power in the household. The power in a household, you would have, the husband would go out and, do his thing and bring home an income to provide for the family. But the women would be at home producing things, some salves, tonics, hair tonics, just different products were produced in the home. And then, with socialism comes regulation and saying, oh, you can't do this in your home and all of that stuff. And so, it becomes a lot harder to do that. But even when it comes to the manufacturing of goods. So, for example, one of the most communist things I saw during the pandemic was them trying to fight what they call price gouging. And price gouging is basically, when all these corporations or big money guys came in and bought up all of the hand sanitizer and then sold it back to people at much higher prices, higher than the usual retail prices. And Amazon steps in and goes, no. And I thought that was the wrong move for Amazon the gentry. So what I think happens is they understand that. Well, the way the market works is if something becomes too expensive, you find alternatives. And the truth of the matter is something like hand sanitizer is so simple. It's literally alcohol and gel. So people could have been producing this on their own. And I think what happened was they didn't want people being independent. Again, coming back to that term independent. They don't want families and homes becoming independent because it's going to hurt big business and big gov. Because Big Gov is providing or allegedly providing solutions. So what would have happened is people would have sought out alternatives, found out you can manufacture this stuff at home, and then big business would have had competition because you would have had, mom and pop shops producing hand sanitizer. New brands would have came about, and those would have been sold, and those would have been sold at lower than market prices based upon the price gouging that was practiced by some of the gentry. And I think that's, what they were concerned with. So you have to let, if people want to play with the markets, you have to let them do that because people will find alternatives. And that's what they're afraid of, people finding alternatives. Shout out to Zantovin. He said, Leticia charges more because she's not getting the wholesale discounts the way Asians get at the warehouses. So they go to who's cheaper. That's correct. Thank you, Zantovin. Zantovin is blessing us today. Appreciate you. But that also goes back to the fact that they try to clump us in, Black people or so-called Black people, with people of color, when the truth of the matter is those people of color often, as a group, don't see themselves as allies or one of us. You know what I'm saying? We're only allies when it's time to protest, whatever the socialists say, we should protest. So they clump us in with people who technically are not looking out for our interests, but looking out for their own. Meanwhile, the rhetoric is saying that we need to be a selfless people and help all in need. And Black people keep falling for that. Stuart said they was popping off in GA with the hand sanitizer during the pandemic. Sanitizer was selling out. Yeah. Strongdad said the problem is women hate women, so they only seek to get supported. They partner up but are stingy investors in each other, and they hate on the wholesome ones who actually do support. I think, you know, women as a whole, black women as a whole, need to readjust their beauty standards, especially with the fake eyelashes. That shit, I remember, man, let me tell you something. I was on, I don't know, MySpace. I forget where I met this girl, but, it was probably Twitter. Yeah, Twitter was popping at this time. And, you know, we're flirting back and forth online, et cetera, et cetera. And then we decided to go on a date. She didn't live too far from me, so she pulls up on me. And it was like she was sleepy. Like, she was looking at me like this. And I'm trying to figure out why she looks so sleepy. And I'm like, oh, she got these big-ass butterfly eyelashes on her head. So for me, I was a bit taken back at the time, okay? Whereas now it's commonplace to have fake eyelashes. And big ones too. And I just deemed that she wasn't dateable. You know, no matter how fine she wasn't dateable because you're dealing with some, first of all, you're in disguise. That's first of all.
Oh, this is a real hotel, brother.
You're in disguise. That's first of all. Second of all, are you dealing with some insecurities? You know, like even women who I've never seen without filters scare me. It's starting to skeeve me out. I'm just like, why you always have a filter on? Like, what are you hiding? Like, do you have burn marks on your face? Like, what's going on? Like, so, you know, I think women, black women specifically, need to take a look at their beauty standards and be careful, because with the whole BBL situation and all of that, it's just like, where are we headed with all of this, and who's benefiting from these industries, right? So it's the type of situation where you create your own problems, so you're going to have to create your own solutions. I'll go Hotep with the $20 super.
Oh, this is a real, Hotep, brother.
Salute to the top five coon on Twitter. Yeah. Unk, you the king of coon Twitter, so you should know. Takes one to know one.
Oh, this is a real Hotep, brother.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
We're going to talk about it tomorrow on the show, 8 p.m. Hotep's been told you. Uncle Hotep, King Coon. Remember I said it. King Coon. We got enough evidence to indict him, but we're still in the investigation phase and putting together all the evidence before we bring the RICO against Uncle Hotep. With that being said, let's talk about the TikTok ban. Are we ready for that yet? Let me just make sure. Yeah, we're ready. Let's go to the TikTok ban. And in order to bring that in, we have from the meme coin team, the AOC meme coin team. Shout out to Politify, $AOC or AOC, follow AOC Saul, S-O-L. And they have a production based upon the latest news about the TikTok ban.
My fellow Americans, you may have heard about the recent TikTok ban being approved in Congress. I want you to know it was a typo. It's not TikTok, it's Twitter. Yes, we're banning Twitter because Twitter is owned by Elon Musk. Yuck. And unlike China's President Xi Jinping, he is not a person of color. So Elon, stop oppressing the Chinese people and delete Twitter immediately. This is your final warning. So let's give China our data. Together.
Let's give China our data together. Oh, man. Shout out to the Politify team. Shout out AOC coin. Y'all know I'm all in on the AOC coin, so make sure y'all join the Telegram, the link description box below. Why did this just pop up on my timeline? Heidi says Zuby is Andrew Tate light, smoother, goes down easier, will still give you a hangover. She's hilarious. If you haven't followed Heidi Briones, she's a lesbian. I don't know if you care about that, but I follow her, and me and her have a good time on the app. She's hilarious. I like her. She knows how to use the X app. She knows how to use it. All right. So TikTok Bizan is approved by Congress, basically saying that, you know, it should be controlled by a, I'm looking for some visual aids here. Hold on a second. Well, let's see what people are saying really fast here. Jake Shales, he says the ADL demanded we ban TikTok and our politicians listened. TikTok CEO Xiaochu responds to the bill that could ban the app. Let's see what he has to say.
Hi, everyone. It's Sho here. As you may have heard, Congress passed a bill that the president signed into law that is designed to ban TikTok in the United States. That will take TikTok away from you and 170 million Americans who find community and connection on our platform. Make no mistake, this is a ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice. Politicians may say otherwise, but don't get confused. Many who sponsored the bill admit a TikTok ban is the ultimate goal. It's obviously a disappointing moment, but it does not need to be a defining one. It's actually ironic because the freedom of expression on TikTok reflects the same American values that make the United States a beacon of freedom. TikTok gives everyday Americans a powerful way to be seen and heard, and that's why so many people have made TikTok part of their daily lives. Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident, and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again. Our community is filled with people we have found.
I'm tired of hearing his Chinese drivel. Ban TikTok.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Ban that shit. Ban the Chinese app. Do not bring it domestic. Get rid of it. It's garbage. TikTok is trash.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Now, I want to come back to something he said here. To hammer down where he said it. He said right here. Where is it? Right here. TikTok gives. No, not that one. Right here. TikTok reflects the same American values. That's exactly why TikTok needs to be banned. Because you're practicing the same values as the communists in America. No, we don't want this. What else did he say that I had a problem with? Right here. Make no mistake, this is a ban. Ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice. Sir, Xu Wang Chu. Listen, sir. Listen, Xu. Show Chan. Jackie Chan. Listen, motherfucker. Let me tell you something. God damn it. I posted a video about Nicki Minaj and what she said about the jab. She said there were some testicular issues that came along with the jab. People was hitting below the belt. I made a video citing the CDC and it got banned. How did my video that cites the CDC, who's supposed to be the official authority on diseases, and you banned my video. I made another video criticizing communism in America, and that got banned. Then my reach was absolutely destroyed. So this concept of TikTok is a bastion of free speech is fucking bullshit, okay? It's fucking bullshit. There is more free speech on the X app than there is on TikTok. I don't want to hear that shit. TikTok is a bizarre, weird place that nobody needs to visit. It's a very addicting app. If you ever watch the lives, it's weird shit going on. It's people watching people turn into NPCs and lottery tickets and all types of just small brain bullshit. TikTok is trash. And I'm not even getting to the spy part yet. We're going to get to the spy part. But the concept of, I've heard people say, you know, they want to ban TikTok because right-wing talk. Listen, I tried the right wing talk on TikTok. Even that shit is not cool on TikTok. I'm fucking radical right wing on TikTok. How my shit get banned? I said something. I put out a bunch of videos talking about male female relationships, and that shit got banned. You know how many times I've gotten a notification that says, "Hey, one more time, your account's going to be banned. Or try to appeal here." Then I go and I hit the appeal button, and the appeal comes through. They gave my video back. But then the other half of the time, they don't even give me the option for an appeal. And then the video is limited anyway. This concept of, you know, TikTok is free speech and it's pro right wing, it's utter garbage. Utter garbage. TikTok is still run by the communists and the leftists and the socialists and the progressives, and there's nothing free speech about TikTok. TikTok can kiss my black ass.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Okay? It ain't no free speech on TikTok. If Hotep Jesus ain't got free speech on TikTok, you ain't got free speech on TikTok.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
If Hotep Jesus doesn't have free speech on TikTok, you don't have free speech on TikTok. Get Ju Wang Chu out of here. I don't want to hear your bullshit. You're a liar. You're a liar and you're a thief. Second of all, let's deal with the spying. People say, oh, TikTok is spying, but so is Meta. Meta is spying on everybody. You know what the difference between Meta is? And everybody else, Meta is based in the United States. It's a United States intelligence agency. Meta is a United States intelligence agency. TikTok is a United States intelligence agency. So if you're one of these pro-American people, why would you first of all, you should expect for your own safety to be surveilled, because there's terrorists around every corner, right? So you should expect to be surveilled. You watched the Patriot Act get passed and you did nothing. BLM wowed out. We got more police state. You said nothing. So I don't want to hear this shit about spying. That ship sailed a long time ago. So we have an opportunity. You know, everybody say, oh, but China, our enemy. So China's our enemy. Why would you want them spying on your ass too? TikTok, if it is going to exist, must be controlled. And it must be completely housed here in America. If you are pro-American, we want TikTok. We want ownership of TikTok. This great, powerful app should be in our hands. How is it? And this is what's weird to me, right? You know, all this fucking free speech that I don't believe in. You know, you go to Brazil and China and all these different places, right? So, for example, let's go over to Rumble. Let's go over to Rumble. Let's pull up Chris Pavlovsky's account. He's the CEO over there, right? We go to let's see what he's talking about, right? Right here. Let's go. Rumble has received censorship demands from Australia, New Zealand, and other countries that infringe on everyone's human rights. We are noticing a dramatic increase in global censorship unlike anything I've seen before. So all these other countries are limiting the reach of these destructive apps. But we not supposed to practice the same thing? We not supposed to do that? I'm fully down for the communist takeover of apps. To some extent. I'll explain in a little bit. To some extent, obviously, right? But it seems as though China is banning certain things in other countries. And what I'm wondering is, why isn't certain content banned here in America? We let the pornography do what it do on Twitter, but apparently when it goes to other countries, the pornography doesn't exist. Why? Do these countries care more about their culture than Americans care about our culture? See, America cares more about freedom than culture.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
And that's when you're trading God for the devil. When you care more about freedom than culture, you trade God for the devil.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
And that's what's happening here. We are trading God for the devil. Now, there are some loopholes to this, potentially, right? Basically saying any foreign entity, app or whatever that exists can be co-opted by the government. Well, that's true. That's true. That is definitely a concern. And it may even set the precedent that domestic apps, if seen as foreign adversaries, as a foreign adversary, can also come under the control of government. But doesn't that make sense? You might not like how your government operates, but it should make some sense that your government wants to protect you. Now, we know our government definitely is not in the business of protecting us. They're in the business of protecting the interest of the aristocracy, the oligarchy, and the gentry. We know this. So it's a bit different when we look at it. But when you zoom out and just look at the principles of the matter says your country can't be a free-for-all. It can't be a free-for-all. It just cannot be a free-for-all. You're going to have to put some limitations down somewhere. You guys can call in and argue in a little bit if you want. I'd love to hear your take on this. We're going to go to phone lines in a little bit. But first, we got some more big brain stuff in this bag for you. I think I said all I had to say about the TikTok situation. And if anything comes to mind later, I'll express it. But I'm going to come to this last point. Then we're going to go to phone lines. Text HOTEP your name to 202-596-5631. 202-596-5631. I want to go into this last story here and turn this into a bit of a big brain history lesson. So let's go to the tape. So right here, we have an interesting question. So I said here with the infamous Morpheus GIF, do you think it's a coincidence that all eyes are on the Middle East while America is dealing with an illegal alien crisis, massive inflation, and medical malpractice, right? Real quick, I just want to see if I have a copy on my computer. Hold on, let me see if I have a copy on my computer. If not, I'll just read from my phone. No, I don't have a copy on my computer. All good. No worries. All right. So based upon this tweet, I got this question from somebody. He says here, so they manufactured the genocide in Gaza and Israel striking Iran to distract from illegal immigrants coming into the U.S. And he's got a whole bunch of laughing emojis. So we go to his account. He says, pro-black, pro-reparations, pro-Bitcoin. I am that I am. Right. And I said, yes.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
That's exactly what happened. They manufactured a foreign event to distract from domestic issues. Is that far-fetched, y'all? Is that far-fetched? Test me. Test me. Is that far-fetched? Uncle Hotep said, fighting communism with communism, what a time to be alive. Absolutely. Fight communism with communism. Isn't that what they say? Fight fire with fire. Isn't that what they say? Huh? Which side are you on? American communism or Chinese communism? Huh? So, time to go down memory lane. Hold on. Let me just pull this up here in just a moment. We're going to go down memory lane. Remember, the premise of this discussion is the creation of foreign issues in order to distract from domestic. So here we have, keep telling y'all read this book, Tragedy and Hope, Carol Quigley. Make sure you go to get a copy. Page 71. In a section called or titled The Growth of Monopolies and the Excesses of Wall Street, he says here, the agrarian discontent The growth of monopolies, the oppression of labor, and the excesses of Wall Street financiers made the country very restless in the period 1890 to 1900. All this could have been alleviated merely by increasing the supply of money sufficiently to raise prices somewhat, but the financiers in this period, just as 30 years later, were determined to defend the gold standard no matter what happened. Now listen to this. In looking about for some issue which would distract public discontent from domestic issues, what better solution than a crisis in foreign affairs? I'm going to repeat that again. In looking about for some issue which would distract public discontent from domestic issues, what better solution than a crisis in foreign affairs? I'm going to repeat that again. In looking about for some issue which would distract public discontent from domestic issues, what better solution than a crisis in foreign affairs? Here we go. Cleveland had stumbled upon this alternative more or less accidentally in 1895 when he stirred up a controversy with Great Britain over Venezuela. The great opportunity, however, came with the Cuban revolt against Spain in 1895, while the quote-unquote yellow press led by William Randolph Hearst roused public opinion. Henry Cabot Lodge and Theodore Roosevelt plotted how they could get how they could best get the United States into the fracas. They got the excuse they needed when the American battleship Maine was sunk by a mysterious explosion in Havana Harbor in February 1898. In 2 months, the United States declared war on Spain to fight for Cuban independence. The resulting victory revealed the United States as a world naval power, established it as an imperialist power with possession of Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Philippines, whetted some appetites for imperialist glory, and covered the transition from the long-drawn age of semi-depression to a new period of prosperity. This new period of prosperity was spurred to some extent by the increased demand for industrial products arising from the war, but even more by the new period of rising prices associated with a considerable increase in the world production of gold from South Africa and Alaska after 1895. America's entrance upon the stage as a world power continued with the annexation of Hawaii in 1808, the intervention in the Boxer Uprising in 1900, the seizure of Panama in 1903, the diplomatic intervention of the Russo-Japanese War in 1905, the round-the-world cruise of the American Navy in 1908, the military occupation of Nicaragua in 1912, the opening of the Panama Canal in 1914, and the military intervention in Mexico in 1916. So this gentleman asked me, so they manufactured the genocide in Gaza and Israel striking Iran to distract the illegal from illegal immigrants are coming into the U.S.? This is why I say I can't talk to nobody. Because I just read more than you motherfuckers. When I was a kid, my parents made me read. Thank God. So I read and I study our history to know our world, to know our country, to know our God, to know our government, to understand corruption of systems. And then I present to you my thesis, my theory, and I'm met with disbelief. This is how you know the programming works very well. Because they have you people thinking based upon a false reality. You're not dealing with that. You don't know the history of this country. You don't know the history of Western civilization and how they increase their power. Oh, we're having domestic issues? Time to start a war. Oh, we're having domestic issues? Time to start a war. Time and time and time again. Domestic issues? World War I. domestic issues or start World War II. It's a distraction from domestic issues. That's why we're looking at the situation in Palestine and Israel going into the elections so that our politicians won't talk about real issues. We'll talk about abortion and we'll talk about foreign affairs, but we won't talk about the issues affecting people in their everyday lives here in the landmass called the United States of America. Okay? I deal in reality. I study. And when you study, you can't be fooled. You cannot be dragged into a false reality. Because you deal in reality. You deal in, well, here's what the history says. So if they were able to do it then, who says they can't do it now? Who says they won't do it now? And in order for evil to persist, you need naivety and gullibility. You need people to be gullible and naive. That's what you need. The last part you need is greed. Greed also can be used as a mechanism to scam people. Okay? The T stuff is no different. I agree, insider agents. I agree. Okay? So make sure you guys are studying. We're going to go to the phone lines. Going to argue a little bit about this TikTok ban. See what some of our callers got to say. And I'll be right back in less than 2 minutes. Watch this commercial from the Grifties. Grifties available to the public in an edited format. If you want the unedited format, go to patreon.com/hotepbeentoldyou for the unedited version of the Grifties. Or go to grifties.com.